Good morning, everyone. I'm pleased to present this research study on behalf of my colleagues at the University of South Florida on stillbirth as a risk factor for subsequent infant mortality, and we currently have no relationships to disclose. As we know, infant mortality, defined as death of a child within the first year of life, is a critical indicator of the health and wellness of a society, and it has been correlated with socioeconomic status, access and availability of optimal health care services, as well as quality of life. It is estimated that infant mortality accounts for about approximately 5.7 million deaths worldwide, representing 42 deaths per 1,000 live births. The United Nations Millennium Development Goals call for a reduction by two-thirds of mortality among children of the age of 5 years by the year of 2015. However, it excludes an explicit goal for infant mortality, which is considerably varying across countries and regions. Regions classified as developed countries have an infant mortality of about 5 deaths per 1,000 live births, and in developed countries, the infant mortality rate is about 47 deaths per 1,000 live births. In the U.S., as a developed nation, the infant mortality rate had experienced a decline from approximately 5 to 8% between the years of 1997 to 2007. However, it is still high. In 2009, the infant mortality for the United States was 6.8 per 1,000 live births. This represents, this is twice the rates of a lot of its counterparts, such as France, Germany, and Italy. Another issue in the U.S., a major concern, is the persistence of black and white disparities in infant mortality. Among black women, the national infant mortality rate is more than twice that of white women. An identification of disparities by race and ethnicity in the United States highlights the need to consider the causal risk factor from the proximal to the distal end of the infant mortality causal continuum. And although multiple risk factors have been identified and investigated, the influence of prior pregnancies experiences on subsequent infant mortality is under research, with only one other study examining a possible association between previous child loss and subsequent health outcomes. Therefore, we sought to examine the association between stillbirth in the first pregnancy and the risk of infant mortality in the second pregnancy. We hypothesized that previous fetal loss is a definite risk factor for subsequent neonatal, postneonatal, and infant death. And we conducted a population-based retrospective cohort study to carry forth our hypothesis. We used the Missouri Maternal Linked Cohort data files from 1989 to 2005. The Missouri Vital Record System is a reliable record, a system that has been adopted as a gold standard to validate the U.S. national data set that involves matching and linking procedures. It contains more than 1 million records, and it links siblings to their biological mothers using unique identifiers, as well as it contains information of both live births and fetal death for each sibling and provides a platform for longitudinal study birth outcomes for each pregnancy. The total population in our data set was 1,035,544 births, and because we were interested in examining the association between stillbirth and infant mortality in the first and second pregnancy respectively, we excluded to single pregnancies, multiple births, births of less than 20 weeks and 44 or greater than 44 weeks of gestation, we retained a total of 644,906 births, to which 322,453 were from the first pregnancy and the same number from the second pregnancy. We categorized the study populations into an exposed and unexposed comparison group. The exposed group were women who experienced stillbirth in the first pregnancy, while the unexposed group were women who had live births in the first pregnancy. And stillbirth was defined as intrauterine fetal death at or beyond 20 weeks of gestation. Women were then followed up to the second pregnancy and 1 year after delivery, and therefore the main outcome of interest was infant mortality in the second pregnancy. We also computed secondary outcomes such as neonatal death and postneonatal death. Neonatal death being death of a newborn within the first 28 days of life, and postneonatal death death of an infant within the first, within 29 to 364 days. We compared mothers with previous stillbirth to those who had a live birth in the first year with respect to the following maternal characteristics and sociodemographic factors listed here, such as maternal age, race, education, as well as maternal complications such as anemia, insulin dependent, as listed above. We performed a statistical analysis such as the chi-square test, student sample t-test, Kaplan-Meier product limit estimator, Kaplan-Meier test, Wilcoxon-Mann-Whitney u-test, and proportional hazard test to derive the different estimates and analysis we wanted to compute. All hypothesis tests were two-tailed with a one-type error rate of 5%, and all analysis were performed using SAS. Obviously, the study was approved by the Institutional Review Board of the University of South Florida. All right, so a total of 322,453 women had first and second consecutive singleton pregnancies in the study period. Of these, 1,538 women had experienced infant death in stillbirth in the first pregnancy, while the remaining 320,915 experienced a live birth. Within the study population, 1,937 cases of infant death occurred in the second pregnancy, representing an infant mortality rate of 6.6 deaths per 1,000 live births. In this study, if we can see, try to highlight as much as I could, we see a distribution of selected maternal sociodemographic factors and characteristics in the second pregnancy, so the outcomes in the second pregnancy, of women with stillbirths in the first pregnancy and those infant who survived in the first year of life. So we see that women with stillbirths in the first pregnancy were more likely to be older, black, obese, have a higher level of adequate prenatal care. However, they were twice as likely to experience medical complications, preeclampsia, renal disease, and three times as likely to have insulin-dependent diabetes, four times as likely to experience chronic hypertension. And women in the unexposed groups were more likely to be white and married. And obviously, these outcomes were for the second pregnancy. This table provides an adjusted estimate for the association between the occurrence of stillbirth during the first pregnancy and infant death during the second and subsequent pregnancy, adjusting for sociodemographic factors in the second pregnancy. Mothers with previous stillbirth were more than twice as likely to experience infant death during the second pregnancy and more than three times as likely to experience neonatal death during the second pregnancy. Further analysis stratified by race showed that women who previously had experienced stillbirth in the first pregnancy were more than twice as likely to experience infant death during the second pregnancy and more than four times as likely to experience neonatal death during the second pregnancy. These are black women. White mothers who previously had stillbirth in the first pregnancy were more than twice as likely to experience an overall infant mortality, including neonatal and post-neonatal death during the second pregnancy. A comparison of mothers who had experienced prior stillbirth and those whose infant had survived in the first year of life relative to the cumulative probability of survival rate before 44 weeks of gestation is displayed by the Kaplan-Meier curve above. And it shows the rate of infant death to be significantly higher among mothers with prior stillbirth. As you see, the bottom line is the line with higher stillbirth, so they had a higher rate. Here we see that for stratified by race, in which we see that the black mothers experience infant death at an elevated rate as compared to white mothers. All right, so just in summation, this population-based retrospective cohort study we found that a history of stillbirth was associated with a 2.5-fold increase of subsequent infant death, and the risk was most elevated for neonatal death. This heightened risk remained present after adjustment of sociodemographic factors, sociodemographic covariates, although we did not observe an association between the occurrence of overall stillbirth in the first pregnancy and subsequent post-neonatal death overall. The data did indicate that white mothers with a history of stillbirth were nearly twice as likely to experience loss of a child during the post-neonatal period. So this was only observed for white mothers. To the best of our knowledge, our study is the first to provide empirical evidence of an association between a stillbirth loss and a subsequent infant mortality. It expands the knowledge base by investigating outcomes beyond the neonatal periods to include the post-neonatal period. As we saw, like I just stated, with an association of stillbirth in the first pregnancy and post-neonatal death in the second pregnancy among white mothers. Just only one other previous research had conducted this study, and it showed that there's a heightened risk for post-neonatal mortality following a previous child loss. That's because there is a lack of evidence evidence-based biological explanation. We offer scientific speculation. Our findings underscore the utility of identifying women at risk based on history of prior pregnancy performance, as it potentially provides a marker to avert subsequent adverse pregnancy outcomes. It serves as a platform for targeted interventions to reduce infant mortality in subsequent pregnancies. And furthermore, following a death of a child, couples question whether they can have or attempt another pregnancy. Therefore, our findings could serve as an important criterion in determining appropriate interconception strategies to improve fetal-infant death. Health and survival. So lastly, our findings are useful for public health professionals to plan interventions to address the black and white disparities observed in our study, and shows that there is a need to strengthen the evidence base as well. So thank you.